knows about Jazz Fest, but you may not know so much about its nonprofit arm, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, which has been around just as long. The foundation is dedicated to promoting all facets of our musical heritage and culture, from African drumming to zydeco. Today, we're talking to Scott Aegis, Director of Programs, Marketing, and Communications, about the current state of New Orleans music and what the foundation is doing to promote and preserve it. Hello, Scott, and welcome to WWNO.
Thank you for having me.
Most people think of jazz as the single type of original New Orleans music, and it's certainly important. But it's not all that we're about. So what are some of the elements of the local music scene being created here today that excite you?
Well, New Orleans being a port city, that was always a very famous shipping hub. It embraced so many different styles of music and cultures from around the world. So the music scene that has grown up here over the generations also reflects that diversity. And I think the music scene that we have here in town today is every bit as diverse as it always has been. I mean, you do have stalwart traditionalists like a Leroy Jones or a Dr. Michael White or a Greg Stafford or Preservation Hall Jazz Band. But then you have other musicians who are pushing at boundaries in very exciting ways. I think of Aurora Neeland, the incredible saxophone player. She might be doing a Sidney Bechet tribute one night, or playing with her own trad jazz band, the Royal Roses, the next night, but then she might be out on Frenchman Street doing some bizarre performance art or fronting this incredible rock band that plays festivals around, all over the place. So people are pushing boundaries and expanding and making creative art, which is what it's all about.
You have a fairly brand new center on Rampart Street where you have classrooms. Tell us a little bit about what goes on there.
The building that you're talking about is called the George and Joyce Ween Jazz and Heritage Center, and it's the first ever permanent home of our own music education program, which is called the Don Jamison Heritage School of Music. And we reach about 100 students a week. We teach them within free music classes that employ 8 or 9 of some of the city's top jazz musicians as instructors. It's also the place where we do lots of free workshops for the community. We do free African drumming workshops, Mardi Gras Indian beadwork workshops. We do songwriting for teenagers with PJ Morton, the Grammy-winning record producer. And we also host free concerts pretty much once a month. It's a $9 million facility with state-of-the-art technology, and it's our way of providing an education and community center for the region.
I hear from some of our musicians that New Orleans as an audience doesn't support our musicians enough. What can we do as that audience to make sure that this kind of creativity and that this industry survives and thrives?
You know, this question of whether we as a community respect our music and support our music really goes back to time immemorial. I believe it was 1913 that our mutual former employer, the Times-Picayune, first published an editorial calling for the abolition of jazz, infamously titled Jazz and Jazzism. And basically said that jazz was a, if I remember the quote correctly, a low-down streak in human nature that basically needs to be sent out with the bathwater, is essentially what the newspaper of record said about the most important musical art form to come out of this country at the time of its birth. Kind of like what people say about rap music not too long ago. I mean, look at what happened after Katrina. Everybody said, oh no, the culture is finished, the city is gone. Who were the first people to come back? It was the musicians. It was the brass band musicians and the Mardi Gras Indians. I mean, this has been documented. And arguably, the city wouldn't have come back if the people who produced the culture wouldn't have come back. And I think that the people who produce the culture, it comes from an innate place in their bones that just can't be denied. And those of us who love this city, I think just by being here, and continuing to go out and support and just be present. And I mean, even if, you know, things like that might seem trivial, going to Mardi Gras parades and, you know.
What you're saying in a way is ironically that by taking our culture for granted, we do the most possible to propagate it. And to me, that there's a lesson in that. We take it so much as being an integral part of our life that perpetuates it in a way.
Yes, I agree with the way you're putting it, because if we didn't, if we made it too fussy, then we wouldn't care about it anymore. And if we made it too pretty, it would be Disneyland. And we're not interested in that either. So I think to the extent that we all just kind of take it as another day, then that carries on this wonderful magic of what makes this place so special. Yes.
Well, I think the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation does its share of carrying that message forward, and we thank you for all of its and your hard work. Thank you so much, Scott, for sharing your musical insights with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
For WWNO, I'm Renee Peck.